if we were to access the computers of those who live all over the world, we would find those people looking for an answer. When you look at all the searches, when you look at all the ways that they're looking for Jesus, you find them typing into their computer, salvation. You find them typing into their computer, Jesus. You find them typing in their computer, looking for an answer that will change my world. You see the reality all across the world. People are looking to understand what a kingdom calling is all about, to come to the place where Christ would be everything, that he would be the answer. And it's amazing because we find Jesus understood so vividly that people would come to the place where they pondered, is there an answer in the midst of the life I'm living because of the chaotic world that I see? And that's why today we find ourselves, first of all, looking at Matthew chapter 24. As you turn there, think about the setting. Jesus is preparing those closest to him to understand that they have a responsibility. They have a responsibility to understand that the trials, the difficulties, the heartaches, the pain will all be worth it if they're willing to preach the kingdom, if they're willing to live out what it is that God has called them to. If you would, look with me in Matthew 24, because I want you to see the setting that really puts in motion the focus of who we are as we get ready to launch into 2012, in this year in which God has called us to very clearly take a kingdom calling and let it burn into our hearts. Look, if you would, beginning in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginnings of birth pangs. Then it will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." You read this, you immediately get a picture of what Jesus said. He said, things are going to be difficult. Things are going to be challenging. You're going to see things you never dreamed you would. You're going to hear about earthquakes rattling in different places. You're going to hear about floods, and you're going to hear about famine. You're going to hear about pain. You're going to hear about fear. You're going to hear about kingdom rising against kingdom. You're going to hear about economic challenges. You're going to hear about all these things. But never forget that the essence of our story is that the gospel would be preached, that the kingdom would be conveyed as a message of hope to everyone in every nation. That's why when people get on their computers in other parts of the world and they type in Jesus, there are those who are involved in a mission enterprise who are working to make sure that when they type that in, they find a source that can tell them who the real Jesus is and what he can do. Because it is at the name of Jesus that lives are changed, that people's hearts are stirred. And that's why when we look at the Bible, what does the Bible show us? The Bible shows us that to everyone who answered a kingdom calling, they had an extraordinary experience. It never summarizes it as a mundane moment. Instead, it's extraordinary. And today, we look at the kingdom calling that connects into experiencing the extraordinary in all of our lives. Because here's what we see. Obviously, Jesus says all this. He ends up on the cross. He ends up in a grave. He ends up coming out of that. And out of that grave, we see the birth of the church. And we find the church that gets up on fire for God. And we find the church being committed to accomplish everything. In fact, when we get to Acts chapter 4, we find where the Bible says that it says that they were of one heart and one soul. They were totally committed to a calling that was coming from God. And that church that was birthed ends up spreading, and other churches are started and launched out in different places. But then they realize something, that they need to take it beyond their world to other people's world. They need to take a missionary enterprise and put feet to it, put wheels to it, put commitment to it, put passion to it. And that's why we find ourselves in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Turn there if you would, because it's here that gathered around at the church at Antioch, there are some men who get it. They understand that they're not just supposed to exist, but they're supposed to experience something extraordinary. And listen carefully. What we do not want to miss in life is that life is so short that if we miss the extraordinary and if we live only for the ordinary, we will look back at our journey and say, we missed something. But if our hearts are stirred to move beyond ourselves, which is what is extraordinary, when we move beyond ourselves, we have the privilege of seeing God do amazing things in our own family, in those around us, in other parts of the world. And that's what happens in the 13th chapter. And the reason I want to start in the first two verses is I want you to see something. Because as you look at it, what I hope you will note is that there are two men that we are very familiar with. There are three that we have very little familiarity with. But all of them had a kingdom calling. They all had a responsibility. Their names are noted because they lived an extraordinary life. Look, if you would, chapter 13 of the book of Acts. And notice, if you would, verses 1 and 2. And I want you to listen carefully today as we look at this, because I want to show you what you really see happening in all of these men's lives is that they had a life mission. They had a reason to live. They had a purpose beyond themselves. And listen carefully. Life is too short to miss our opportunity for what we're supposed to live for. We got to make sure we don't miss this, because if we miss it, we as his people will look back at our lives and say, it could have, I should have, but I didn't, because something held me back. These men all come from different backgrounds. Look at them. If you would, look at the story. Verse 1, chapter 13, the book of Acts. Now they were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers. Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Stop right there and look and think about it for a second. Here's five names being called out. These are all people who answered a call to the kingdom calling. They said, I'll do whatever it is God's called me to do. Look at verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, when you read this, you immediately get in your mind very quickly that here are two people, Paul and Barnabas, who end up having a very dramatic kingdom calling. They end up doing all kinds of things. And they end up on these missionary journeys, making sure they make a difference. But these other guys were important too, because these other guys were part of who was praying for them and connecting to them and believing in them. They were all experiencing something extraordinary. And for you and me, when I look at this passage, I realize here's the story of what transpires when we understand our life mission. I want to ask you a question. How clear do you understand your life mission? Do you know where it is God wants you to go? What it is he wants to do in your life? And you may be sitting here saying, well, you know, I can't think of what country I'm supposed to go to. I'm not talking about a country. I'm talking about why you were birthed into this world. Were you born just to live out your days? Or were you born with a divine purpose orchestrated by God? Listen, you may be sitting here saying, well, I've been through lots of trials, lots of heartaches. That's what makes you special. Because God can use your pain to accomplish his purpose. God can use your difficulty to direct your heart in a new way. And what happens oftentimes is we shrink back into the ordinary life and we miss the extraordinary calling that God has for us. And what I want you to think about in your own life is, where is your life mission? What is it that God wants to do with you? And you may be sitting here saying, I don't really know. But let's talk about what a life mission is. Because here's what you understand. A life mission is the overarching purpose that God has for your life. Watch this. This given by God is fulfilled through God and is accomplished by obedience. That simple word, I obey. And what you discover is we all have the opportunity to accomplish our life mission. We just have to be willing to take that step of faith, just like Barnabas and Saul and Ian and Cyrus and Lucius. They all did that. Niger, all of them, they stepped out. And they said, you know what? We want to be who God wants us to be. We want to accomplish what God has for our lives. And you may be sitting here saying, I have so many things restricting me. Listen, the only thing that restricts you is listening to the wrong voice. Because listen, to the voice that speaks to your heart, that God owns your heart, that voice will always tell you to go. That voice will always tell you to share. That voice will always tell you to give. That voice will always tell you to pray. That voice will always tell you to believe no matter what. That's what a life mission is really centered in. And when you think about it, obviously, here in this passage, we find ourselves in a very unique spot, because here these men are willing to do what God's calling them to do. But when you look at this passage, you realize also that there were others who were involved in the story. Perhaps they didn't take the same step. And I ran across a quote a couple weeks ago that really spoke to my heart. And I want you to think about this, because God will lead us in new directions. But he'll always allow us to make the choice to follow or not to follow. God will always lead us in new directions. Haven't we all had that experience? Different things he's called us to do, different places he wants us to go, different people we're supposed to impact. And you see, you may be sitting here thinking, Brother Gerald, are you trying to tell me I need to go somewhere? I'm trying to tell you that Jesus made it very clear that our responsibility was to go. We can go across the street. We can go across, around the corner. We can go around the world. But what we do is we learn and understand that we have a mission from God, that he gives it to us. He's the one who accomplishes it. It's fulfilled through him. But we accomplish our responsibility by being obedient. So I want to ask you a question when you think about your life. How many times have you been at a fork in the road? And been at that fork and you said, okay, that way will cost me something. That way will cost me nothing. I think I'll go that way. And what did it do to you? It stole the fiber of your heart out. You say, well, how do you know that? Because listen, I've been there too. I can remember different moments in my journey where someone said to me, you ought to go somewhere. And my immediate thought was, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to take that step. But all of a sudden, something began to burn inside of who I am because he used somebody who had a kingdom calling, who is now in heaven. But his kingdom calling still rings out in my heart. What about you? What direction have you been at? When you come to that fork, which way do you go? Which step do you take? In fact, let me ask you another question. What is it that deters your mission? In other words, what gets in the way of you being who God wants you to be? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it a relationship? Is it a peculiarity of your personality that says, you know, I can't do that, or I can't do this? Is it something that restricts you from experiencing his best? You see, when we finish today, here's what you're going to recognize. Nothing should deter us from being who it is that God has called us to be because our lives are too short. That's why when you walk around the exhibit tables out in the lobby area, everybody standing at one of those tables, whether they're standing there from Big Oak Ranch or whether they're standing there from another ministry, Elam Ministries or Wellspring or any of these other groups, Unite, they're all there. Listen. Because they chose to experience the extraordinary. They said, you know what? Life is too short to miss my opportunity. And for you and me, it is too short. This is the hour that God is speaking to our hearts. This is where we see Matthew 24 being lived out. That there will be earthquakes. There will be famine. There will be hatred. There will be those who try to restrict the voice of what it is that makes a difference. And listen carefully, if you are not watching what's happening in our world, it is happening faster than we can count, faster than we can see. That's why you and I, as we live and breathe in this hour, must look at our lives and say, you know what? I will recklessly abandon anything that will keep me from being who I'm supposed to be, what he wants me to do, where he wants me to go. And you may be sitting here saying, you know what, I'm just not going to Tanzania. You don't have to go to Tanzania. Just get in your car and drive 2 hours to Big Oak Ranch. Just get in your car and drive downtown to Gilgal Ministry. Just get in your car and drive a few blocks away to Norcross Ministry. Just do something that takes you out of the ordinary and sets in motion in your heart something powerful. Obviously, the church understood that they had a responsibility to go. See, they had heard the Great Commission. That we will go into all the world. We'll preach the gospel. We'll baptize those who come to faith in Christ. And so what happens? They take that word literally. They believe it. And as they believe it, they begin to act. And what do? They start moving forward with a missionary assignment. They pray. They pray and God says, take these two and send them on their way. And that's why we find ourselves today in Acts chapter 13, verse 42. Because here in verse 42, they're on the mission field. They're out there encountering obstacles. They're challenged by religion, which, by the way, is a great challenge across the entire world. They're challenged by religion, but they've come with a message that's greater than religion. They've come with a message that sets people free. And I want you to look at this passage because every one of us, when you look at this passage, every one of us have to come to this place where we accept the challenge of discovering our life purpose, our life mission. We cannot neglect that. We cannot miss that. We must seize that moment and make sure that it's burned in our hearts deep enough that no difficulty, no heartache, no situation will keep us from experiencing what he has for us. Look, if you would, at this passage. I want to show you just very quickly as we wrap this all together. I want to show you what happened when some men say yes to a kingdom calling, beginning in verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the meeting of synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. Now, I want you to stop and get a picture of this real quick as we look at this. Here they are, and the Bible says they were begging. They were saying, please, 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 tell us more. I can honestly say to you, I've been a pastor 35 years, I've never had anybody in America ever beg me to preach longer. Never had anybody say, hey, man, would you just give us 15 more minutes? Now, I have had a few, when their eyes closed, I realized that the sermon was over for them. You know, but the reality is, seldom have I had anybody say to me, man, you know, you just need to preach a little bit more. You need to tell a little bit more. You need to convey a little bit more truth to us. But here's what happened. They go on their missionary journey, and they find that they're commissioned by Antioch to go into the world to make a difference. They're commissioned by Antioch. They go in there, and what we see, first of all, is here we find people that what they're really saying is, give us an answer. And I want you to not forget this as long as you live. People yearn for answers in life. They want to know, how do you take this puzzling experience and open the door to be able to understand life? People yearn for that. I want to ask you, when you think about your own life, if you experience the extraordinary, you yearn for him to speak. You yearn for him to do something inside of you. And what you discover here in this passage is here are people who, by the way, are still, many of them, captured by religion, but they're saying, tell us more about grace. Tell us more about God. I mean, what you see here is they keep saying in verse 43, they urge them to continue in the grace of God. They yearn for God to do something in their life. I want to ask you, don't you yearn for him to do something in you? You see, what's that yearning all about? Listen, it is the continual pull of the Holy Spirit pulling at our heart, saying to us, you can go. You can pray. You can believe. You can give. You can connect. You can experience. And what you're encouraged by today, as you look at this passage, we all are committed. We're all committed in our hearts to yearn for something. And listen, if you yearn for things, you'll never be satisfied. If you yearn for that next thing that you attach yourself to, it will never fill you up. But if you yearn for something money can't buy, and if you yearn for a presence that will transform the way you live, and if you yearn for God to speak, and if you yearn to hear him speak to your heart, and if you yearn for something powerful to happen, it's like, listen carefully, you will experience a kingdom calling. You'll experience what God's up to. You'll get to be connected to it. And you say, Brother Joe, you're so energetic about it. Listen carefully. I don't want anybody to arrive in heaven and say, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I was going to do that, but that really pushed my envelope. Listen, I want you to get to heaven and say, I did everything you asked me to do. And here are these people who don't even know Jesus saying, man, tell us about this. Tell us about what's happening. Look on, though. Look at verse 43 and 44. Look at it as it unfolds. 44 and 45, excuse me. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. When you read this, you immediately realize something. It's the second thing I don't want you to miss. Obstacles will always occur when you're being obedient. Obstacles will always, I mean, you think about it for a second. Anybody here had a tax bill come in when they were supposed to go on a mission trip? Anybody here had a washing machine break when they were trying to raise the money to make it to a place in the world? Listen, we all get obstacles, but we have a God who meets us at the point of our obstacles. And if we're obedient, he meets that need. Listen carefully. Over the span of these 6 years, when people have had a yearning and a calling to go, God has provided a way. That's why when I think about these different places in the world, it isn't people dependent on themselves. It's people realizing that God can take your obstacles and open a door of opportunity. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. It is through the strenuous strain of difficulty that we find direction. It is when we find ourselves, our hearts broken and our hearts challenged beyond what we can imagine. You see, there was a missionary journey that I went on to another country while our lives were falling apart at home. My son had made a choice. His life had become detrimental to everyone. And I can remember talking on the phone outside of the church building in Romania. And I can remember my wife saying to me, "When will you be home?" Me realizing that I had to accomplish what it is God had called me to do. I had to overcome the obstacle of my own emotions and the pain that I felt during that time. Thanks be to God that I didn't shrink back into my own little problems and my own little peculiarities and say, "I'm going to let somebody else take that role." Listen carefully. What He's designed for you, He's not reserving for someone else. What He's designed for your life, and you may be sitting here saying, "You know what? You don't know how many obstacles I've got." Really? Well, let's talk about them for a moment. What is it that restricts you? What is it that keeps you back? And I'll tell you what you're going to discover. What keeps us away from God's best for our lives and a kingdom calling more than anything else is disobedience. We say in our minds, "Somebody else can do it better. Somebody else can go instead of me. I'll go another time. I'll wait another day." What we don't realize is the older we get, the more ailments we get into our lives, and as a result, we get more challenges. Just this last week, I hurt my shoulder somehow. And I told my wife, "It's ridiculous. I haven't done one strenuous thing in the last 3 months. It's not like I'm out mowing the yard. It's not like I'm out." How do you just put your arm out when you go to sleep and you wake up the next morning going, "I can't move my arm"? Anybody ever had that pain? I mean, it just hits you all of a sudden. I said, "Cindy, what do you think?" "I don't know what to think. You're getting older." No, the reality is, and if I went to the doctor, that's what they'd say too. "Welcome to being 54. But the truth is, listen carefully. Don't let some little pain get in the way of His big, giant purpose. Because we serve a big God who has great plans for all of our lives. And believe me, it starts right here with each one of us saying, "Lord, I want to be obedient." So I want you to think about, first of all, they yearned for an answer. Secondly, they obeyed beyond their obstacles. Because did Paul and Barnabas, you look at this story, here's what you see. Did Paul and Barnabas say, "You know what, let's pick up shop, this doesn't work. These people are giving us a headache"? Look at the next verse. Look what happens. What does Paul and Barnabas do in verse 46? Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you repudiated it," in other words, you walked away from it completely, "and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth.'" What you see here, thirdly, is boldness comes through faith. I mean, what do we see here? All of a sudden they get bold. They say, "You know what? I can do it." Boldness comes through faith. You see that happen to me one time on a missionary trip. I found myself in a spot where I was dramatically frustrated in my own humanness. Because what had happened was, on this missionary journey I was on, the church that I was at, they decided to load the program up with a whole bunch of stuff, none of which was going to get me where I wanted to go, because I had come to preach the gospel. And so, as the service went on, the first hour passed. Then the next 50 minutes passed. And I sat there, and I looked at the pastor, and I said, "When will I be up?" He looks at me and he says, "Only believe." And I said, "Well, how long will they stay?" He looks at me and says, "Only believe." Well, I get up to preach, and here's what happened. I have to take a little moment there where I said, "Okay, Lord, you're either going to help me be really bold, or I'm going to be totally fleshly. I'm either going to let my flesh be in control, or I'm going to be really bold in you." And I'm going to tell you what I said on that. I sat up on that pulpit in that platform area. I said, "Lord, I don't have any idea what you're going to do, but I want to surrender every bit of my flesh to what I've just been through." Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're in another land, you can't even understand what they're saying, and they do it for an hour and 50 minutes. After a while, you start saying, "You got to be kidding. I've come a long ways. I've traveled 7,000 miles. I've come to share something that can change your life." Well, I said to myself, "Lord, you're going to have to help me be bold." I preached on that day 10 minutes with an interpreter, 10 minutes. 12 people came to know Christ. One of those orphan girls who got saved was baptized this last month. And I sat there as I watched those people give their heart to Christ. I realized, listen, if your flesh controls you, you'll miss everything in life. But if you're bold enough to let God work in your life, your faith will move you forward. The Bible says they were bold. But look on, though, because there's more than just boldness. Let's kind of see this as it summarizes together. Look at verses 48 and 49. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been pointed to the eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the entire region. What do you see here? Don't miss this. God will ultimately be glorified by our diligence. When we are willing to do something, to take that extra step. You see, you may be a parent here, and every once in a while, your child wears you out. They take your energy, they take your hope, they take your direction, and they say, I'm scrambling your world right now. But then all of a sudden, you as a mama, you say, Mommy's not going past this spot. She's staying with her stuff. She's going to be diligent to make it happen. She's not going to let go of her responsibility. And what do? You keep shaping that life. You keep saying to that child, no, we will not do that. But yes, we will do this. And you begin to shape. And listen, here's what happened. Paul and Barnabas, because they did not walk away from a kingdom calling, experienced the extraordinary thing of watching these people glorify God. Listen to what Oswald Chambers, listen to what he said in his devotional this past week. When a person acts on God's word, watch this, that very second, the supernatural rush of the life of God invades him instantly. The dominating power of the world, the flesh, and the devil is paralyzed, not by your act, but because your act has linked you onto God and his redemptive power. So pray and then work today to the glory of God. And listen, if Oswald Chambers can say that, what he was really saying is we should all move in step with what glorifies God. Because you see, the reality is, the reason we don't talk about what we're doing all over the world every week is because the focus would be on us. It is not about us. It's about what God has inspired inside of our hearts with our life mission, our overarching purpose given to us by God, fulfilled by God, accomplished by obedience. In preparation for this message, I've been doing a lot of study thinking about what it really means to get in the middle of what God has for our lives. And I ran across a quote from a young man who found himself up against a wall. He had inherited the pulpit of a church in which the pastor, the founding pastor, had pastored 50 years. 50 years. He inherited that church, which in preacher terms, that's called, for the guy, the second guy behind him, that's called a disaster, because it's really hard to follow somebody who has 50 years of legacy. But what happens is, all of a sudden, he stopped in his tracks, and he realized he wanted to experience something more than just the ordinary. And I love this quote that I read that he said. Listen to this quote. See if it doesn't touch you. Don't expect a harvest in places where you've not sown seed. I want you to think about your life for a second. Do you expect a harvest of love when you haven't sown love? Do you expect a harvest of joy when you haven't sown joy? Listen carefully. Your children, they will look at what you really love. They'll look at what you really find joy in. They'll look at where your peace comes from. Listen, if you spend more time analyzing your checkbook statement than you do the gospel, what will your children say? Your children will say, my mom, my dad, were always worried about what we had instead of who had us. And my challenge for you today, when you look at this passage, this is just the first missionary journey. And a simple question as we wrap this together. What steps will you take to experience the extraordinary? Which way will you go? You may be sitting here and you heard these testimonies from Tanzania and you said to yourself, I could do that. I could get on that plane. I could go in that village. I could trust God to move. Others of you sit here and here's what you realize. You don't want to miss your moment. Listen carefully. If it takes a dying man to impress your pastor to go, how about letting a living man inspire you to go? You see, because the reality is, if my friend, whose sweet wife is on our staff, if my friend hadn't continually said to me, you can't just talk about it, you've got to actually do it, I would have never gone. And you know what, for all of our lives, what you talk about is nothing compared to what you do. See, you can say to your family, I love God. But if you never pick up this book, if you never seek his face, you never yield to him, what do they know? They know the story doesn't add up. And for some of you, here's what I think is going to happen today. You just crossed a line from the ordinary to the extraordinary. And how did you get there? The Holy Spirit is speaking to the hearts of people just like he did with Paul and Barnabas. Because the Spirit of God has been at work all through the ages. And my encouragement to you today, my encouragement to you is to think about what step you can take, which way you can go, how far God will lead you. And I'm going to tell you, I would rather go beyond myself and experience something I never dreamed than to live life knowing I've got it all figured out. My challenge to you today is think about which way you need to go, what step you need to take, how you experience the ordinary. And here's what I realized for us as a church family. This theme is not just a theme that we put on a board, put on a screen. This is our heart, that we have a kingdom calling. And it's not determined by the size of our church. It's determined by the size of our heart, because God will provide as we choose to go and obey him. My encouragement, you just look at your own life, and you may be saying, well, I can't go somewhere else. You don't have to go anywhere else. Out in this lobby area are at least 10 different areas you can go and do something in right now, right here in the state of Georgia or Alabama. All you got to do is go out there and say, you know what? I want to go. I want to make a difference. Maybe it will be that you'll be able to walk on the big old ranch and meet a kid who maybe wants to be loved by somebody that spends a sacrificial time to drive over there and makes a dedication to become a part of sponsoring that kid and helping it to make a difference in their life. Maybe you're here and you'll see a lady from Gilgal and you realize, I want to encourage her in her journey. Maybe you're here and you realize it's time to quit figuring out why you can't do something. It is time to say yes to what you can do. Because if you obey, you'll discover your life mission. Because God gives it, and God's the one who fulfills it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for this extraordinary experience today, being in your house. Look across this room at people who realize that their life is connected to you. And so Lord, I want to ask you to move in their lives in a special way in a moment as we surrender to you our entire lives. I ask you, Lord, to do something amazing. And now, Lord, bless us as we respond to you. Bless as we follow you. Lord, we yield to you. In Christ's name, amen.